Four, I received books as prizes for attending Sunday school, and even today I keep them in my library. I look at them and I thank God for my Sunday school teachers who got me on the road. And I thank you for inviting me. I thank you that I have the opportunity of sharing with you. Now, on your way out, I would like to encourage you to pick up a two or three or four or a dozen. These are these are book markers. There's lots of them in the back. They're nice for the to put in a book and to keep your place. And also, it's got to God be the glory, great things He has done. I turned 80 this year, so I made myself a party. Nobody wanted to make me a party, so I had a party. 125 people were there. We had four half cows on spits in the fire, and we had a great time. And on here it says 80 years. Then it has also 40 years, it says on there, and that was work that we've done in Argentina over 40 years. And then down here it says 58 years serving the Lord as a missionary. So take it home. I need your prayers, and you need to practice. Isn't that it? You need to practice, I need the prayers. Anyway, it's good to be here. I enjoy it. And thank you, Roy, again. It looks like I'm up and running, and so that's exciting. Now, this morning we have a very interesting message. Earlier we talked about worshiping, that the Lamb was the word. We could worship the Lamb. The Lamb. And today we're going to have a different type of a thing. We're going to talk about the rapture. Now, I checked with the powers to be to make sure that we're on the right track, and I am. But can you imagine it? I would like you to try to imagine this, okay? We'll see if this is going to work. Okay, we'll try it again. There's no sound coming out, so I guess it's not going to work. We'll try one more time.
No sound. The speaker.
No sound. The speaker.
That's okay.
No. Okay.
But can you imagine?
But can you imagine?
Yeah, I'm going. Yep, yeah, I will.
Yeah, I'm going. Yep. Yeah. But can you imagine the trumpet sounding, a voice calls, and in a blink of an eye, millions vanish. Planes crash, cars crash. I mean, it's disaster out there. And people are taken to heaven. It's going to really be a sight to be seen. And Revelation chapter 4, 1 to 3, and we are going to look at that, tells us about this is what's going to happen. The Christians are going to be taken up to heaven in a twinkle of an eye. We don't know when, but we know how and we know who. God sent His Son Jesus, and He's going to call us up to heaven. Now, I don't know if it's going to look like this or if it's going to look like that. I don't know. But let's read what it looks like, what it might look like. Are you ready? Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven, and someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby and rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the scene? And if you can't imagine the scene, I hope you will try to imagine the scene. We're called up to heaven. Now, again, I don't really know if it's going to be like this. This is when I was a kid. This was the one that was showed all the time, and it was wonderful. And this is a couple others.
You want to play the song?
But no.
Okay.
Don't have to. No, thanks. It could be every tongue, every tribe, every life, person who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, who are alive at that time, will to meet Jesus. When I talk this, when I study about this, I get goose pimples, because really, it's going to be time. You know, we can start to get all excited about heaven with four truths presented in our text concerning John's experience. We have the open door. We're going to talk about the open door. There's an open door to heaven, and say, "Come on up. Ven aquí. Vien si." I don't know what language. It'll be in heavenly language. I think it could be Spanish, no? Bien sit? Spanish, French maybe? Bing a key? No? I don't know. But that saying, those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be called up to heaven. And there's an open door. It's an open door, and that's exciting. And we're going to talk about that. Then we're going to call about the call to heaven. An actual call. C-A-L-L. Call. Hey, Ronaldo, bing a key. Come up here. Come. The door's open, Ron. Open. Now, why am I called? Why is you called if you know Jesus? Because Jesus died for you, and you accepted him as your Savior. And you're part of the family of God, and he wants to be with the family of God. It's going to be exciting. And remember, God knows us by name. We're going to talk about that. Then we're going to talk about the experience in heaven. Woo! We are going to have a great time worshiping the Lamb, worshiping Jesus. And then we're going to take a view of heaven. We're not going to be sitting on clouds doing nothing, playing a harp like a lot of people try to say. But these four things. First, we're going to hear the voice of God. The voice of God in Revelation chapter 4 describes the real heaven. This is what the heaven's going to be like. We have a lot of people saying, "Well, I died, I went to heaven, and I came back." Jesus is the only one that's done that. But this is the voice, not the voice of man, not the voice of preachers or reverends or doctors or Jesus is calling us. God is calling us. Come on up. And that's going to be exciting. So we're going to be looking, lift your eyes. Lift your eyes, behold the throne. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. If you want to take a picture of the screen or write it down, I usually just take my camera out. When it's finished, I'll leave it for a minute. Then we're going to be talking about recognizing who sits on the throne. Absolute sovereignty. We're going to be talking about that. And then we're going to be talking living life to worship, the only worthy one. Okay, let's get into it. Okay, lift your eye, behold the heavens. This is God talking. God is calling us. After this, I looked, and behold, a door stood open in heaven. This is something so exciting. But we're caught up into heaven. Not because we're good. Not because we did something special. Not because we're a preacher, a missionary. We were called to heaven. You know why? Because we have been born again. Because we're part of the family of God. And God is there. God rules over all things. And he is sovereign. And he's showing us that he is on the throne. Because first it's not on the throne, then we see what we are supposed to do then and there. And now we are to fix our eyes on Jesus. That's who we're to fix our eyes on. I mean, social media, political instability, personal crisis. We fix our eyes on so many different things, but we are to fix our eyes on Jesus, because he's the one that's going to call us up to heaven. He's the one that is worthy. Then we're going to recognize who sits on the throne. Absolute sovereignty. And behold, a throne stood in heaven. Sitting on the throne. Not to worship anything else but the sovereignty of God. Jesus. That's the person we are called to worship. What are we talking about here? In heaven. And behold, a throne stood in heaven with one sitting on the throne. Are you excited? Are you looking forward to it? Can you say, even so, come, Lord Jesus? Or are you sort of too occupied with other things? I know I like to see my grandchildren get married. I know I would like to see my grandchildren get a job and all that. But my first thing is my thought of going to heaven. And Jesus is the one that allows that. God is authority. The church often speaks of God's love, but neglects its authority, his authority. Revelation shows that God is king. He is the sovereign king, surrounded by angels who never stop declaring his holiness. Holy, holy, holy. We sing it sometimes. The authority of God. The challenge is really that we are to be swallowed up into worship. If God truly reigns, then every decision, every act of obedience, every word we speak must be submitted to his authority. Living life to worship. The only worthy one. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Worthy are you, Lord. It's a continual praise. It's passionate. It's focused entirely on God's worth. We learned that earlier this morning. He is the one that gets us to heaven. I don't like the word, but he's the ticket to heaven. If you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, he will take you to heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's the important thing. Is our worship responding to who God is? Does it reflect who we really are, our worship? Real worship is not just songs, as we said this morning. It's a lifestyle that declares you are worthy. God is worthy. And that's the important thing, that he is the one on the throne. He's the one that is worthy. And you can notice in this picture, I know I'm a photographer, like our young lady here. I love pictures. And I think that's the way it might be. You can see all the people down, and they take the crown off, the crowns, and put it on the feet of God and say, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. It's real life. It's not a fantasy, all this. A lot of people say it's like a fairy tale, but it's not like a fairy tale. It's real life. It's what it's all about. And if we're going to have success today, if we're going to be in the winning side, if we're going to be on the winning team, if we're going to be on the right side, and that's if we realize that this is for day and today. Live. Live. Let us live not as a throne sent to people. Let us live now as a throne sent to Peter. What I mean is, Jesus, who is on your throne? Is it self? Self is on the throne. Christ is outside the life. Interests are different by self, often resulting in discord and friction. So the question I have, who is on your throne? Who is on your throne? If your life is God-centered, then he is on the throne. God is on the throne. Self is yielding to God. Notice self on the outside. But you're in the family of God. But God, Jesus, is on the throne. Interests are directed by Christ. I get so impressed with things I find like this on the computer. That tells the whole story. So I would ask you this morning, who is on the throne? Are you on the throne, or is God, Jesus, is he on the throne? If we are going to have success, as Harold said, if we're going to have success, we have to have Christ on the throne. We can't do it by ourselves. We can take all the books you know on how to do, how to be, how to act, all the how-to books. But read the Bible. The Bible says that if God is on the throne, we are going to have success. I've had the privilege of visiting 75 different countries. And I've been in so many different situations. But God is always, always there to help me, to encourage me, to build me up. Let us not wait until eternity to live with heavenly reality. Let us live now as a throne-centered people, radically obedient, deeply surrendered, and wholly devoted to the Lamb who is worthy. We have to take the Word of God, and we have to cherish the Word of God, not worship it, cherish it, but we have to impregnate our minds with the Word of God. We have to saturate our minds with the Word of God. If we want to live a Christian life, we can't do it by reading other books, other commentaries even. But as we read the Bible, as I said earlier, I'm in Revelations this year, and I am enjoying these type of things that God is showing me. The reality of life, what is really going to happen. And maybe new, we don't know when he's coming, but are you ready? Are you ready? If you're ready, praise God. And you people, and those who are going to be traveling, take some of the tracts in the back, take some of the pamphlets in the back, share your faith with others. They don't know the way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No other way. No other way. I can help old lady across the street. I can give blood to the Red Cross. I can go to church. I can put money in the offering. But if I don't say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. I give my life over to you. I thank you for dying for me. Then you'll be able to see that throne. And you'll be able to worship with me in heaven. I think it's going to be wonderful. Let's pray. Father God, thank you once again for this thoughts in chapter 4 of Revelations. Lord, we thank you for these three verses, and we just pray that as we go home, we'll read these three verses, we'll study these three verses, and we'll try to obey these three verses. We pray, Lord, that as we go downstairs, that you will help us if there's any here that don't know you in a real personal way, as we might say on a first name basis, we pray that they might stay behind and wait, and we can go down together after we talk about spiritual things. Help us, Heavenly Father, that this be the most important thing in Sunday, this Sunday. And if there's any that don't know you, that this Sunday, today is the day of salvation. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Bless us, guide us, and direct us, and we'll give you all the praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.